Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it a beautiful day out?
Yes.
Isn't the weather just been awesome the last few days? God has given us a little bonus for living in Florida. Temperatures in the 50s, that's unheard of this time of year. What a blessing it has been. Well, today we honor the ladies, the women in our lives, the folks that have been our mothers, those that have filled the role of mothers in our lives, those that have nurtured those around them. It's true to say that you don't have to give birth to be a mother, do you? Absolutely not. So we're recognizing the ladies today, and for the mothers in the group that have had children, and for those that have been mothers to the rest of us. I'm glad some of you are still mothering me. That's a very comforting feeling as well. Happy Mother's Day to my own mom. Hi, Mom. Well, happy Mother's Day. We love you all, and we just honor all women today in our church and in our lives. So thank you all very much. A few announcements this morning. Be sure to fill out your Connect cards. You'll find them in your bulletins. Drop those in the offering plate as it comes around. And don't forget, if you have any special prayer requests today, that you can give those to the ushers as well. Those are the prayer cards you find there in your pews there in front of you. So be sure and hand those to the ushers if you have a special prayer request to be lifted up today. We had a great Mother's Day tea yesterday. Thank you all very much, those that have worked so hard putting that together. We filled the house over there yesterday. We were just blessed by the Alice in Wonderland theme and just our time to spend together and enjoy each other's company. So if you came out for that, we're grateful that you did. And thanks to all the folks that helped put that together yesterday as well. A reminder that we have our leadership council this Wednesday at 7 p.m. We meet in the library, so be sure if you're on leadership council that you're aware of that as well. And yes, we have vacation Bible school. Who's ready for vacation Bible school? All right, me and you, Robert. Okay. Well, we're going to have July, we're going to have vacation Bible school, and we got to get our volunteers in order and to do some work with that and to get organized. So if you would, fill out your volunteer forms that are in your bulletin as well. Everybody have one in their bulletin? Okay, so you'll be sure to drop that in the offering plate this morning as well. As it comes around, we need all the help we can get with that. So come, and it's just a great time to spend with the children of our community. So be sure, and I'm sure those will be in there for a few consecutive weeks until we get enough folks to help out with that, that we can start collecting those now. Our new Bible study is starting this Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. We have books. We've got the books. There is a sign-up sheet there in the narthex on the podium. We need to know if we need more books. I think we have 10 or 12 books ordered, so if we need more than that, we can get those ordered this week as well. We do have the books. Sharon and Claire Shore and Donna Orfesis. It's a six-week study, but they're going to tag team the lead in that. So we've got three people. They'll each get 2 weeks during that six-week period. And we do have some books. So if you're interested in that, please sign the sheet there in the narthex. And then there will be books in the fellowship hall, and you can get your book and start your reading this week. Give me a little time to get them out of the office and get them over there. So just stick around until I get the books over there, and we'll hand the books out this morning as well for those interested. There's still a lot going on in the life of your church. Just because the snowbirds have flew the coop, we're still going to hang in there. We're still going to have church. We're still going to do the ministry and mission that we do all year. So I encourage you to stay involved with that and just to be a part of your church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you.
please stand and join me in our call to worship this morning? Mystery of God, draw us near.
Fill our minds with awe.
Wisdom of God, surprise us.
Encourage us with hope.
Glory of God, shine through our lives.
Reveal your power and your glory.
In the mystery, the wisdom, the glory of God.
Let us worship.
Amen, amen. Please remain standing for our opening hymn. Crown him with many crowns.
Nothing is too hard for you. And the next The other one that goes with it is Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So let's praise the Lord right now.
Did I give you the card, Mom? Did Nancy give you the card? Our mothers don't ask for much, do they? Yes, they do. They ask for too much. Yes, they do. That list I just read, that seems like too much. I don't want to do all that, do you? I know both of you pretty well. I know neither one of you want to do these things. I don't want to do these things. But moms just want us to love them, right? And to give them a hug. And to love them and say, I'll clean up my room on Thursday. And I'll put my clothes in the hamper on Saturday. Our moms sometimes seem like they've asked for a lot. Really, all they care about is that we love them, right? So love was the right answer. Hugs was the right answer. But we also need to do those things that they don't expect. Do you know how shocked your moms would be if you did something without being asked? They might have a heart attack, right? Let's try this. Come back next week and tell me three things that you did for your mother that she didn't ask you to do, and what was her reaction. Okay? And if she's still alive next Sunday, we'll celebrate that, okay? Can you do that? Yes, we're going to do that. So we love our moms. We care about how they feel. And we're going to do things that they don't even ask us to do. That's the best gift ever, right? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the beautiful spirit you've placed within these two young people. Father, all you want from us is our love. There's not a long list of things for us to do to be on your good side. All you ask is that we love you as we should love our mothers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. See you guys later. Start working on that list of things you're going to do without her asking, okay? Oh, here. Cat's on. I don't want to get on her bad side. It's a time in our service when we go before the Lord in prayer. Anyone here doing prayer this morning? All hands should go up. We've got some folks that definitely need our prayers this week, and I encourage you to take your list out of your bulletin with you and keep that with you this week as well as you pray during your prayer time. But here's the folks we're lifting up specifically this week. Mary Ann Davis is still recuperating from her second shoulder replacement, so she's had both sides replaced now. And Ann McCartney on Monday or Tuesday had hip replacement. And believe it or not, but Ann McCarthy and Mary Ann Davis are roommates at Signature Healthcare. So, Lord help that place. So, they're doing well. Ann is actually up and walking. She's amazing, so she's doing a lot better. We're praying for Audra Miller. She has gotten some, I haven't got an update this week as well, but she's got some serious health concerns that she's dealing with. David Shute texted me this morning, and he's feeling under the weather as well, so keep David in your prayers. David Petrowski, a family member with Monica Gary Simmons, was just diagnosed with throat lung cancer, so he's going to be starting his treatments as well. So keep David Petrowski and their entire family in your prayers. It's great to see Mary Lou with us today, Mary Lou. Great to see you. We're in Georgia, moved to Okeechobee. You don't see her that much, but George is asking for her. We always continue to pray for George for breathing issues and just some serious health concerns. But George's sister-in-law also passed away just recently, Barbara, so keep their family in your prayers if you would. Catriona's lifting up a cousin of hers who was hurt in an accident. He's in the Navy, he's been on a ship. Darren Fields. Darren, it's good to see you today. He's getting better after his accident as well. So continue healing for you. And he's lifting up Bud, the diagnosed with cancer, and Lori, who's looking for a new job. So let's keep Bud and Lori in our prayers as well. Karen, doing a good job. We're praying for you. And we're continuing to pray for God's guidance in your life as well. Travel mercies for Gene Crawford's daughter. Travel mercies. And they're going up to Duke Hospital in North Carolina. So we'll continue to pray for that situation as well. I know there's things on your heart this morning that you bring before the Lord. Now is our time to do that. So if you would, let's pray here. Heavenly Father, thank you for the women in our lives today, Lord, as we celebrate those that represent mothering to each of us. Father, for those whose mothers have passed away and are alive only in our hearts and our minds, Father, we give them glory and praise today. Father, we're grateful for the way they've guided and nurtured us, the way they've led us in our lives to make us who we are today. Father, today we celebrate mothers that are still with us. Father, we celebrate their spirit that encourages, that nurtures, and sets us free from the world. Father, we thank you for all the women who have been our guides, spiritually, emotionally, those that have led us into right relationship with you, those that have been there to feed us, shelter us, clothe us, and to just be a friend. Father, today I pray for all women and the influence they have in our world. Thank you, Lord, for each one of them. Father, today we lift up those mentioned here by name, those suffering from illness and injury, recovering from surgery, those in relationship problems, those that are trying to find the path, the ones that have strayed, those that are lost trying to find the way again. Father, today we celebrate each spirit that has given themselves to you and each spirit that is trying to find you, Lord. We pray that today could be a day of renewal, a day of rebirth, a day of joy. Father, today we celebrate the fact that you went back to heaven on this day. That as you were blessing your disciples in that group today that were there with you on that day. Father, as you ascended into heaven, you filled the world with your joy. Father, where we've lost that joy, we pray that you would reveal it and allow us to live within it in our lives today. Father, be in our troubled world. Father, be with the leaders of our country. Be with those who seek to be new leaders in our country. Father, we pray for our world today. In so many ways, it seems lost and lonely. In so many ways, it seems that we have deserted you. Father, let us remember that you will never desert us. Father, today we pray for General Conference in Portland, Oregon. As United Methodist Church from around the world, the delegates will gather to examine and reestablish the guiding doctrine of our church. Father, I pray that you are heavily in the midst of all the decisions being made there, that you are guiding those that have been called into that place, those who have been called to make decisions on all of our behalf. Father, we pray you divine guidance for the General Conference this year. So, Father, be with us now as we continue to worship and praise your name, and as we love you like only a mother can love a child. Father, we celebrate you today. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of God.
Thank you.
Father, we love you. We give willingly back to your kingdom to spread the word of Jesus Christ in the world. Father, we love you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Starting in verse 44 through 53,
Hear these words. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's word this morning. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And the change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. Look, I'm sending to you what my Father promised. But you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." He led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem, overwhelmed with joy. And they were continuously in the temple praising God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask today that you would fill our soul with the joy that is spoken of here. Father, bless this time together. Bless this message to soften and rekindle a spirit of joy within each of us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may receive it as that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to be with us. Was not an empty tomb. It was not the grave closed so neatly folded. But it was by the eyewitness accounts of those, they seem to think more than 500 people witnessed Jesus Christ after his resurrection. This wasn't just a couple of people that said, "Oh, I saw Jesus today." Over 500 people witnessed and testified that Jesus had returned. Is 500 people enough witnesses to prove anything today? Sometimes you would wonder, isn't it? Sometimes our world says that we can't believe that. But these people saw Jesus. Now, these weren't just gullible people. They weren't looking for something to believe in. Actually, these are some of the folks that doubted the most. Thomas is one. These people were skeptics. Are anyone here natural-born skeptics? I run across you folks all the time. You're skeptical of everything. You don't trust. You don't believe. You don't have faith. You're an awful lot. So for you, Jesus has a little more work cut out for him. When Jesus was crucified, put in the tomb, and raised, what did he look like when he came back? What was that encounter like when he came back and revealed himself to the disciples? It begins with a terrified group. They were still hiding, weren't they? They were up in the upper room. They were hiding. They're going to come for us. They're going to nail us to a cross. We need to lay low. But what changed the atmosphere in that room that day was this. He looked to be normal for what Jesus looks like, doesn't he? But what evidence did he bear that proved he was the risen Christ? What is it, you know? His feet and his side. Why didn't Jesus come back totally healed, with no more scars, with no more evidence that he had hung on the cross? Why didn't he do that? Couldn't he heal himself of these scars? These scars are what set him apart. These scars are what has marked him for life. Jesus is not ashamed of those scars, is he? Sometimes we get a scar from something that's happened in our life, and we try to hide it. We get a scar on our face, and we try to have plastic surgery to hide it, to get rid of it. Jesus is okay with his scars. You know why he's okay? They're not marks of shame, but they're proof that he loves us, that he loves you. Did you ever think of that? Those scars are proof that Jesus loves you. Does that make you feel good today?
Amen.
In our world, a lot of times we see things as love, and it's some cheap imitation, isn't it? Love is something that's fleeting, they say. Jesus' love for you is unchangeable. That will never change. He died for you. His marks of sacrifice that's on his body are a sign of his victory on our behalf. When death comes over us and comes to claim us, it will have to step aside for the man who bears the scars. I stand up here and tell you this all the time. You people are going to die. I'm going to die. No one gets out of this mess alive. There's no survivors. Is that a bad thing? That's a great thing. Pastors are crazy to get up here and stand in front of you and say, I can't wait to die. Man, I wish I could die. Look at the fun we're going to have. Do you know people in your lives that are rushing towards their death? Why does God give us this place to be? Why does he give us these things to be in our lives? Why does he give us these relationships that we nurture and flourish? The women in our lives who we treasure and sometimes grumble about. Sometimes these mothers have just a little bit too much advice. We're not hurtling headlong towards death, but what we're doing is walking a path of salvation. We're walking a path that is going to take us back to Jesus. Why did he keep his scars? He didn't have to. He was the healer. He healed people. He healed blindness, broken bodies, dead bodies. He kept those scars for you. He declares, I am the same Jesus that died on the cross for you. He went to the cross for us. His scars declare that I have won. Do you sit here today claiming the victory? Do you claim the victory of Jesus Christ in your life?
Amen.
You know, life is pretty tough, isn't it? We have problems in life. I don't know why God's plan doesn't match up with mine a little better. I've told him what I want plenty of times. He's got to know. It's no secret to him what I want. God's old, maybe he can't hear as well anymore. Do you ever ask yourself that? God, I've been praying for this forever. Keep praying, maybe tomorrow will be the day. Or you'll realize that not one of us prayed for the wrong thing. It wasn't God's will, the things that I was praying for. That's convicting for us. But his scars declare that he keeps promises. Death couldn't even keep Jesus from his promises. You know, with the tomb without the cross is meaningless. The cross without the tomb is incomplete. But the scars Jesus bore for us is what set us free. I came across this line in my reading this week that said, the only man-made thing in heaven is what? You know what it is? What's the only man-made thing that exists in heaven? Come on, folks. Come on, help me out back here. The choir, they're scriptural speaking theologians. I've been reading a lot of theological books here lately. I can't even say the word. What is the only thing in heaven that's man-made? You know? You get the gold star. You said that, Marilyn? The only thing in heaven that's man-made are the scars on Jesus. Doesn't that strike you as, wow? Who said wow? Wow. I know. Those scars are from us. Maybe more from you than me, but from us. I'm a bad, bad man. Pray for me. Thank you. Whew, at least somebody is. Some days I forget. I think I'm so perfect, I don't need to pray today. I'm good. Thank you, Dad. Wow. You're my new hero, brother. All right. Good. Good. Thank you. The only thing in heaven that is man-made are those scars on Jesus. You know, this truth that we live in, are you living in the truth of the gospel? We're not talking about knowledge. I'm doing a lot of studying here. This week, my reading on the sermon and on my message preparation sort of led me away from my studies this week. Because we're not talking about knowledge here. Knowledge is educational. But truth is transformational. Have you been transformed by the truth of Jesus?
Amen.
We can read every book. I love this. I come across this as someone with all these degrees on the wall, this doctor of this and doctor of that. If you haven't been transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, you're just pieces of paper. So I called every university and said, listen, I've discovered that we don't have to have all these things on the wall to be transformed. No, that's a joke. Education is different than truth. Truth is meaning we've been transformed. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Anyone here today seeking freedom from something? Dust off the old Bible and take a look at it. Commit yourself to time of prayer. Because it will turn our fear into peace. Jesus asked them, why are you troubled? How many of you are troubled here today? This is a troubling world we live in. This is a time of uncertainty in our nation, for one, in our world. We don't even know what to do with God today, do we? What do we do with Him? Society tells us to separate God from our lives. Take Him away from everything. You know, the scary part of that is there are places in the world where they come and knock on your door and say, is Jesus alive in your house? And if they are, you're in trouble. If you say yes, you're in trouble. So far in the United States of America, they haven't come to knock on our doors and said, are you worshiping God in here? So we still have our freedom. We still have our chance to share this joy. Jesus is going to come back and stand among us someday. You know what? For that, I'm rather expectantly waiting that, are you? That's going to be an interesting time, isn't it? Is it going to be during our time that Jesus comes back and stands among us? I would like to see it. But if they call me home before that happens, I'm okay with that too, because then I'm just going to go up and check it out for myself. I came across this cute little story that said, These women were sitting out on the hillside reading books. One was reading a Bible, and she's reading, and she turned to the other one and said, "Did you know that Jesus descended into the depths of hell?" "No, really?" "Yeah, he didn't go to stay. He just went down to cancel our reservations." So thank God, Jesus has gone down to cancel our reservation. Who here don't deserve to go to hotel hell? We all do. You're kidding yourself if you don't think you should be there with me. But Jesus came and He took the scars for us. He kept the scars for us. And He took them to heaven with Him. I hope someday to kiss those feet with the scars on them. Do you? I can't wait for that. John 16:33, one of my hinge verses, my life verse, as we call it. "I have told you these things so that in you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Folks, it's not easy. Things are going to happen. We're going to get scarred up. We're going to get knocked up around a little bit. Life is going to be tough. But Jesus Christ. I love the end of that. I told you to remember the end of that scripture we were reading, talking about the joy. They worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem overwhelmed with joy. Now, He had come back, spent 40 days with them. They're thinking, okay, good, He's back. We're pretty good right now. And He walks them out towards Bethany. He says a blessing over them, and up He goes. But what was different about this time? Next Sunday is the fire, you know? Get the fire above their heads. I'll bring extra fire extinguishers next week in case we have any of that break out here. Next week is Pentecost. But this week He left them with a message. And what I love, this time they didn't go back and hide. This time they were filled with joy. Sometimes our world seems tough to be joyful about what's going on around us. But we need to experience and we need to maintain this great joy. Not always easy. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through these things. We wrongly equate that joy with escaping the cares of this world. But this joy brings us the ability to deal with it. Does that make sense? This joy that we have in our hearts allows us to deal with these things in our lives. That is the secret. This joy does not say, "We're going to take all your pain away." This joy says, "We're going to help you deal with it." Big difference, isn't it? There's substitutes for this joy today. We see it all around us. Alcohol, drug abuse, relationships that are just wrong. Depending on other people for our happiness. It's not healthy to depend on someone else for your joy, is it? We're going to let one another down, aren't we? As much as we'd like to think we're pretty good people, we're lousy. We're no good. We steal people's joy, even when we want to bring joy. We steal their joy. You cannot receive joy from another person. You cannot receive happiness from another person unless you have the joy of the Lord within you. That's where a lot of folks have trouble. Their happiness depends on someone else. Your happiness is going to be hard to come by. It's going to be hard to maintain your happiness if you're depending on someone else to make you happy. But we share our joy of the Lord with others. That's how this works, folks. We want God to change us. We want God to change our circumstances. And what He wants is to change our character. And those are some tough things to hear today, isn't it? God's not necessarily concerned about changing your circumstances, but he is concerned about changing your character. That's a tough message. So today we celebrate Jesus Christ going back to heaven with his scar-filled body. We'll be able to recognize him, folks. He's kept the scars for us to prove he loves us. It doesn't matter how much we know about the Bible or how many degrees of name on the wall, until we have embraced the cross and the empty tomb, we've missed the point. Amen. Does that make sense to you today? It gives us hope for tomorrow. It unleashes our hope for tomorrow. So today we have a choice. What will we do with the empty tomb? Will we go in and sit down in it and weep? Or will we run outside and tell the world of our joy? I pray today you have joy. I pray today that you have made decisions in your life to seek out a deeper relationship with Christ. The cost is great, but not too great for God. We're lost, but we have hope. We have renewal. I'm going to open the altar up today because I think today is a good day to come and give ourselves back to God again. You might say, oh, I just did that a month ago. You know what? We can't do it enough. We got to do it every day, I think. Maybe every hour. Maybe every minute. Tell God, I'm giving myself back to you. Our nail-scarred Savior has come and done for us what no one else can do. And he took those scars up to heaven with him. So celebrate how much he loves you today. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so amazed as Jesus stood among his people on this day. And in the blessing of those folks, he was taken back up into heaven. Scars and all. He has been made whole, but he carries our marks upon him. So Father, I pray today that we will be filled with the joy of Jesus Christ, and we want to tell someone else about it. We want to give someone else a chance to experience this joy. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for the day we will see him again. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Come to the front if you need to today to reestablish yourself with God. During our closing hymn, let's stand. This is one of my favorites, I'll Fly Away. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn. is yours. This is where God has called you to. I pray a blessing upon each one of you today. Receive this benediction. Holy Father, as we've gathered now to receive the joy that can only come through a scar-laden Savior. Father, today we pray as we leave this place, we go out of here with joy. Maybe not to change our circumstances, but to change our character. Father, we love you and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.